It's our joy to be with you. We've looked forward to this time, and I trust you will find it to be profitable. Anytime we share these sorts of things with an audience such as yourselves, there are some who know many of these principles already, and there are usually some that are totally unacquainted. And that only makes our job a little more difficult, perhaps, to challenge everybody. And we may not get everybody challenged as far as that goes. But we are looking forward to sharing the principles of what we have come to call a biblical discipleship, which is a little more descriptive, maybe, term than biblical counseling. But we interchange those terms, and you'll hear from us both of those terms. Just a bit of introduction. We represent the Anabaptist Discipleship Center, and it is located in Elnora, Indiana, the same town in which the Bible Institute is. And all of us have some connection with the Bible Institute. And I think it's important to explain just a bit in terms of introduction. We are not in competition with the Bible Institute, but a counseling center began to develop somewhat extemporaneously around the Bible Institute, and the combined wisdom of our own leadership and of the Bible Institute board and others was that the Bible Institute would start to leave its mission if it became a counseling center or a counseling center became a focus of the Institute. And so it seemed wise and was blessed that a separate organization be formed. And so we're in no way in competition with the Bible Institute. In fact, we work hand in hand with them. And some of us work at the Bible Institute, for that matter. We just wear different hats at different times. But the organization known as the Anabaptist Discipleship Center was formed and has received its 501c3 status and is moving forward. We were able a couple of years ago, it will be three, I guess, soon, to acquire the former Methodist Church building in Elnora. The church closed, and we were able to acquire that building. And then just this past summer, we were able to acquire the parsonage next door to the Methodist Church, so the old Methodist Church. So we do have some limited residential capacity, and we are planning to capitalize on that going forward where people could come for a brief time. We're not interested in becoming a long-term residential facility, but for a brief time, maybe a week or two at a time, because we do have counselees coming from Pennsylvania, going toward the east, and places in between, and we also have counselees coming from the west. We've had a counselee in for a week of intensive counseling, followed by video counseling from Idaho, and so we do some limited. We try to keep it limited, residential care, but on a short-term basis. Our focus is primarily local, in Davis County, Indiana, and that is where we want to focus our energies primarily, working with local churches, local congregations, and training local congregations for this matter of discipleship. And our training schedule is about as busy as it can be for us. We have, I think, what did we commit last board meeting to? 1 1/4? Is that right? We could do the training more often than that, but we wouldn't get our other business done. And so we have had a training session recently in Alaska in January. All of us weren't able to go, and some were jealous of the old man who got to go, I think. But they were good sports about it and actually prepared some video presentations for us to take along. So we see ourselves as a training institution on the one hand, training in biblical counseling for congregations. We do not think of that training focusing outside of congregations, although we do have classes in the local congregational setting. We had one at one of the Amish Mennonite churches last fall, and we will have one next month at Fresh Start Chapel, training session, something like what we're doing here. And so we want to do the training, but we also do the counseling. At times we are very busy with the counseling and other times not so busy. I'm the old man in about every way. And if it weren't for the younger men, this would be doomed. My days are most definitely numbered. But we have men in place that can take the torch and already are taking it. And you will hear from them this weekend, Lord willing. And these men are, at this point, kind of a cross between administrative and board. They are board members. We are expanding personnel so that some of the board members will become administrative only as time develops, and we will expand the board as we have opportunity. Our board meets every 2 weeks and basically does both board work and administrative work at this juncture. But that will be separated, Lord willing, as we go forward. And we see ourselves as answerable to the local churches. And so those churches that come on board with us that will ascribe to our statement of theology, our doctrinal statement, and who will express their support for the ministry and the code of operations have the responsibility of putting one man on the accountability council. And that is a separate body that oversees the ministry. The accountability council has to approve budgets and those sorts of issues, and they also have to approve administrative slash board members, and they have written authority to impeach the above. So they are representatives of the supporting churches. And in that way, we kind of keep ourselves accountable to local congregations. That's just a thumbnail sketch of the organization. We're young as an organization and have a lot of things to correct and work on, but we are thankful for what the Lord has done and is doing through the Anabaptist Discipleship Center. We have primarily, almost exclusively, Anabaptist clientele. We would not refuse to work with non-Anabaptists, but we primarily have to this point attracted Anabaptist clientele from Old Order Amish across that spectrum to those who would be probably considered somewhat more liberal than we are in the Anabaptist world. And we did not go after the out-of-state people, but they have been coming to us sent. We've had a number of clients come from Pennsylvania and several from Oklahoma and other parts of the Midwest. So hopefully you have a little understanding of what the organization is about. We're not here to sell the organization. We're not here to appeal for funds or anything of that sort. On the other hand, we wouldn't refuse funds. But we just want you to know what the organization is about and what our heartbeat is. We have helped out some with some of the counseling at EBI, and would anticipate, as the Institute asks us, to continue to do that as it is needed. All of us, with the exception of Brother Delbert, who is not here tonight, we're hoping to see him this weekend, but all of us would have background in EBI, and Brother Delbert, who is an Old Order Amish man, but a dear believer, and a counselor, biblical counselor. And he stretches between my age and the young guys. He's in between us. But he did take classes at EBI. He did take the biblical counseling seminar and so on. So even he has some connections with EBI in that way. Enough of us. Let's get to our Father's Word and attempt to introduce the idea and principles of biblical counseling. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll give you a brief introduction to what biblical discipleship / biblical counseling is. And we're looking at the last 2.5 verses of Matthew chapter 28, familiar, hopefully, to all of us. Reading Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Biblical counseling is dependent on the Lord's authority and His commission. We believe that it is in substance one way to put hands and feet to the Great Commission, which we just read. The main command, there are subsidiary commands in the text, but the main command is to make disciples, Christ followers. In other words, it seems elementary, but it isn't quite as elementary as it may seem. As we think of making disciples, the Lord defined what that's supposed to look like in the last verse of the text. And notice that. It involves instructing, but instructing with a definite result. And many fall short of the result. They may do the instructing, but the instructing is to accomplish obedience to everything that Jesus gave us. That's not only the red letters, it's the black ones as well. If you happen to have a copy of the scripture with red letters, the words of Christ, the commands of Christ are cover to cover scripture, red and black letters. It's all the Word of God. It's all the Word of Christ to us. And what this command is to make disciples. And how do you do that? You teach them to observe, to obey some of what Christ said? No, all. All things that I've commanded you. And he is with us in the process, the promise is. So you may say, well, what does that have to do with counseling? What does that have to do with discipleship? I say to us, it has everything to do with it. That is what it's all about. On a personal level, one-to-one, couple-to-couple, with accountability, like homework, we are looking for change and growth in those Christ followers. And as Brother Todd said earlier, it has to do with seeing that same kind of change and growth in ourselves. We sometimes talk about the mirror effect of these things. If you have done discipleship, one-to-one, couple-to-couple, and you have listened to people explain their problems to you, if you have had an attack of conscience, you are numb or you aren't a part of the program at all. Because the very thing that somebody will talk about in terms of their trouble, their struggles, if you're honest, you're going to admit you have some of that yourself. And so the change in growth not only occurs in the counselee, but also in the counselor or counselors. It is a whole process of discipleship. It is something we have not always done well in our churches. We may do the over-the-pulpit type of discipleship, and that's needed. It's important. But we may not have done well with it on a personal basis. And without the personal touch, an awful lot of people go through the cracks. Not everyone is going to, in fact, most people probably are not going to be fully discipled in large groups. I'm not diminishing the importance of the pulpit ministry. It's very important. But it cannot stand well alone. And so these personal encounters where the Word of God, the Word of Christ, is impressed, it's taught, it's explained, it's discussed, homework is applied to it, and it is the change agent in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring what we call change and growth. Now, one of the drawbacks is that many of us don't know the scriptures well enough to do it, and that should be shame on us. And when my grandfather permitted me to start plowing in the field with the tractor at age 8, his defense of that move was, well, he can't learn any younger. I say that to us about handling the scripture. Say we can't do it, well, let's get at it. We can't learn any younger. It's time, past time, for us to take the Word of God and open it, explain it, help our counselee to understand it, and then help our counselee to apply it to the problems of their lives. And I assure you, it's life-changing. You may find people in a counseling situation or a discipleship situation that really don't know Christ. They know how to explain the gospel, perhaps, but it never has deeply connected with them. And so this is even an evangelistic tool as well. I can assure you it will change your church if you will commit to it. And we'll be calling you to commit to it as this weekend goes forward. So what is biblical counseling? It is nothing less than discipleship, taking the scripture, explaining it, applying it, and helping people to apply it to their lives and to their situation. And we will hear as we go forward how that the scripture is the answer, and that men have other theories and other approaches, which at best are temporary, whereas the scripture is eternal, and it affects permanent kinds of changes. So I want you to be thinking about that. My time is gone as far as the schedule is concerned, and we want to have some discussion on this very thing. What is biblical counseling? And you are free to ask whatever questions you want to ask. If they are going to be answered later in the week, why, our guys will tell you that they're going to be answered later in the week, and they might give you a brief answer right now. But we want to have these breakout sessions, and this will be the first one coming up. And we are planning to arrange for 4 groups, and we would like you to stay in those groups after they are assigned, unless there's a really good reason to change. But we want to get a little familiar working within a group. And so just to help it along, we're going to do what maybe we used to do in school. We're going to count off 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. And couples may stay together. So if you are a couple, maybe the man could say the number as we go along. And then we will give you some assignments as to where you will meet. But what we would like to do in this time is basically, okay, Paul said this, what did he mean? How does this work? Those sorts of things. And if you have questions about why we said what we did, and if you wish to disagree, you are welcome to do so. We will attempt, wherein what was said was what we think is true. You know, we're all frail and don't always get it said right. But wherein what was said is to our way of thinking true, we'll probably defend it. So allow that, if you will. But we want to see whether you heard anything in these last 15 minutes or so. You know, whether you heard it with understanding. And we want to take the opportunity to clarify whatever needs to be clarified. So we'll start over here with Marvin and work back and then start up here and go 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? Did we finish? Okay. Men's Sunday School Room. We'll go with the ones. If you need direction, the locals will have to give you direction here. But the ones can go to the men's Sunday School Room. The twos go out to the foyer here where there's a room area. And the threes will go to the youth area.